Hello and welcome back to the Student Physio Podcast. This week you'll be joined by all three of us, me, Lewis and Connor. We haven't been together for quite a while. We've been jumping on with different guests, so we thought it'd be good to get the trio back together and give you a little bit of an update about what we've got in store for the future and a bit of an update about what we've been up to in our personal lives and working lives. So, guys, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having us.
Good to be back.
It's been a while since the three of us have jumped on, hasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's really good to get together and just kind of reflect on what's been going on in the last few months. So yeah, hopefully it'll make a good episode.
And now that we're all physios, we can do the talking.
Do you want to jump into that, Lewis?
Graduation
coming up.
Yeah, so at the time of recording, I haven't graduated, but it's next week. So that's great. Finished up end of May, start of June completely. So that was good to get that out of the way. Got results and they were pretty good, so I'm happy enough with that. Starting the process of trying to get it published, whether or not that ever comes to fruition. I could get a big kick out the door as soon as I try and publish it or send it to the publishers first time, but we'll give it a go. And then started working last week, so pretty chuffed with that. So working with Helen at Focus, where I've pretty much been in and out for the last year and a half. So really, really happy that I was able to get a full-time job there. Kind of makes life a lot easier for me in that the transition into the job's pretty smooth. Having just finished the placement, you kind of pick up from where you left off. And I was actually treating some patients this week that I had whilst I was on placement, so it's quite good that you're kind of going full circle, and just really waiting for registration to come through.
Yeah, it's always a weird time, isn't it? But in between stage.
Yeah, like kind of feel like you're a little bit in limbo because it's like you're almost a physio, but you're not quite a physio. So at the moment, a lot of the stuff that I'm doing is similar to what I would have been doing on placement. So it's kind of just picking up from there, and then getting a caseload slowly handed over to me so that once my registration comes through, then I'll have a full caseload that I can just pick up, and I'll be pretty comfortable at that point, having worked with the patients for, you know, however number of weeks it's been since sort of coming in and then getting the registration. So yeah, pretty busy already, which is good. I just feel like I'm kind of don't really have that same bedding in period or settling in period that most people would have when they start their first sort of band 5 job or whatever it is, where, you know, they're in a completely new environment. I feel like I'm quite lucky in that I'm coming into somewhere that I'm pretty comfortable in, you know.
Definitely exciting times ahead. In regards to your journal article, how are you going about publishing that?
So it's quite an interesting process. So Colin and Tom, who were Mark and mine, are now pretty much part of the team. So we're a trio working together, trying to get it published. So how it kind of goes about. So far we're at the early stage where we're basically doing the whole search strategy. So we're actually going to change it slightly from what it was. So originally it was just looking at the effects of endurance training on cardiovascular disease in middle-aged men. And one of the issues with the search and initially was that there isn't actually a whole pile of research, and a lot of the studies were integrating males and females. But at the time I felt like I had justified well enough that I wanted to only look at males because they were at the highest risk of sort of like a significant cardiac event. So we kind of had a discussion and thought we'll include females for the journal article. So we've just had a meeting with the librarian last week or the week before, just to kind of go over the search strategy again, talk about what we're going to change to it. And then myself and Tom have started, so there's two reviewers that carry out a search. So myself and Tom are starting to put the searches back through the databases, so Medline, CINAHL, Embase, and then Colin kind of oversees it. So once we run the search, searches back through again, get the papers, it'll just be a case of taking what I've already done from the journal article initially, adding in the bits around females and the effect that it has on females, and then we'll send it to the journal. And then once that's sent to the journal, that's sort of the start of the back and forth process, if you like, where I'll send it off. They'll sort of have a look at it, say what needs to be corrected, comes back, make the changes, and then it'll go back, but it might go back to a different reviewer within the journal. And then it's just that process of back and forth, back and forth. So if you ever see articles online where it says that it was accepted in 2019 but wasn't published in 2021, that's basically that period from when you first send it to the journal, and then the back and forths, and then the actual publication of it. So it's pretty early doors.
Yeah, the whole peer review process. I think people forget about that whole part, but
It's pretty early days with it yet. We're hoping if we can get it done in 6 months, that would be ideal. Now it might take a bit longer to actually get it published, but if we've got it sent off in 6 months, then it's just a case of sort of making the changes to it. But yeah, I'm really excited to get it out there.
Excellent stuff. Connor, do we want to jump over to you? I mean, a lot's been going on for you, definitely. If you'd like to share some of that.
Yeah, no problem. Good to be back. So obviously last year, graduating in July, and then was lucky enough to get an employment at Ascenti full time, and then Ipswich Town part time as well. So straight in at the deep end with trying to juggle two jobs at once, as I'm sure Brad, you're fully aware of that has its challenges.
Definitely not easy straight out the door.
But you know that's not to, you've got to recognize how lucky I am to get that. And obviously I think my overall intention was always to work in a sporting environment, but nevertheless gained a lot from working at Ascenti in the short period of time that I did. Fantastic support from managers and mentors and things like that, which meant that it was a very steep learning curve, you know, into the world of work and things like that. So you know, really enjoyed my time there, but was always something that I wanted to do with them moving from Ascenti and then managing to gain full-time employment at Luton Town. And it also is worth mentioning, obviously, Ipswich were very good to me as well. So if anyone knows me, they'll know that I'm not too close to Ipswich. It's quite a long way away, but managed to join them on a part-time basis, kind of covering their satellite fixtures. So some of the ones that were closer to me, further away from them, which meant that they could offload their full-time members of staff, which I hadn't realised there's an opportunity for that in clubs. So yeah, again, that goes back to, I think, stuff that we've echoed in other episodes in the past, that, you know, don't hesitate to go for jobs, trust yourself and things like that. If, you know, if you don't get it, you're still going to have a good experience from doing the interview. You're going to develop that way. And, you know, you might find that actually what you're looking for fits perfectly with what they're looking for, but you'd never know if you hadn't gone for the interview. So that worked out really nicely. They were kind enough to pay for my ITMIF as well there. And then in April, managed to land the role at Luton Town. So lead academy physio there, and I've been there since. And yeah, that has been a bit of a whirlwind. Obviously Luton recently getting promoted to the Premier League. Was also lucky enough to be able to go to the game, and what a game that was. Any Luton Town supporter, you know, listening, talking about it will probably bring a bit of a tear to their eye because of how long it's been since Luton were in the top flight. But fantastic game all the same, and brilliant for the club, obviously. Couldn't have picked a better time to be involved with things, and they've been nothing but supportive since I've been there. So yeah, quite a steep one since graduating to now, but I'm absolutely loving it. You know, it's exactly what I wanted to do, kind of thing. And yeah, I guess that's kind of me. That's what's been going on since July.
When you talk, sorry Lewis, but when you talk about going into the pre-season now, what's a day looking like for you?
Yeah, good question. So obviously, so between all the age groups that are in the academy, there's three of us full-time members, and then obviously part-time members of staff that cover off all those age groups. So it's very mixed. So it can be, well, it's, in terms of your working week, it's never going to be the same 2 weeks running, but it's normally divided into sort of your day working and your evening working. So lots of the school boys, they obviously attend in the evening because they're at school during the day. So all of their pre-season testing and screening and things like that will be done in evening times. And then your scholars or your contracteds, the ones that are that little bit older, they will be in the day. So you'll have a little bit more time to do your screening and all your sort of stuff like that for your pre-season. And actually, those ones are in a little bit more often than they would be had the season started already. So, yeah, I think probably a little bit more busy than it would be, you know, during season time, but fairly similar. Lots of screening, lots of managing kind of niggles here and there, strapping up any blisters that are present, which is naturally going to happen if you've had time off. Obviously, everything softens up and then you go back to some intense periods of running and then things arise, but yeah, nothing severe or anything like that. And yet again, that's another thing that's new for me. Most of the placements that I had at different clubs didn't actually get to follow through from a whole preseason. So this has been a really good experience to get, you know, right from the beginning of before, you know, right at the end of the season through to the preseason. And then obviously I'll follow it right into the season and then come back round. Yeah.
Lads, can I ask you a question? Why, straight out of the bat, did you decide to go full-time and then go for a part-time evening role, you know, so soon out of uni?
Trying to go, Brad?
I actually did it backwards. So I had my NHS role secured, I think it was in May before we'd graduated. Obviously, we're waiting for the HSPC registration, and something everybody should know is you actually need to contact the HSPC and put that through with them. I thought university was doing was going to do that for me. So I was a little bit behind on getting registered.
Disclaimer, you'll be waiting a long time if you don't apply.
Yeah. So yes, definitely apply to the HSPC. It's pretty quick once you actually apply to it. So yeah, I was waiting for my registration for ages. And then once I had that, I was waiting for my DBS for even longer. So I was waiting to start employment for months. And I just kind of felt like I was unemployed, not wasn't working. I felt like I was not losing my physio skills, but I wanted to be doing something. And fortunately, an opportunity came up to work at Ilkley, and I applied for the role and fortunately got it. And so I actually started working at Ilkley before I started my NHS role. So it was more just out of a kind of want to do something through the summer. And then it actually turned into I really enjoy this. And yeah. It's nice to have the contrast between the NHS role as well as that. It was tough getting started. 6 days a week I was doing, and then like evening weeknights as well. So yeah, it was a really tough adjustment to going from not working at all and then going to 6 days a week straight away. Can be pretty tough finding that balance, but I think once you get into it, and if it's something you really enjoy, passion for it, and for me, when I'm getting paid to work in that rugby setting, it doesn't really feel like work a lot of the time because it's just something you enjoy and having a good laugh with it. So yeah, a lot of it feels more like a hobby than working 6 days a week.
So it's nearly like almost switching off from the NHS job. And like, you probably won't mind me saying, like, you never really had the intention initially of going into sport.
Yeah, it was a weird one because obviously I'm a sporty person. I've been interested in sport for a while, but it wasn't where I saw myself going from our university studies. But I feel like MSK was never my favourite just because it got taught in first year. And I don't feel like as a first year, you're that switched on. You're not paying attention to it. And like when I started taking it more seriously and putting more effort into my learning, I feel like I understood them more, so I was almost attracted to that sort of role, like respiratory, the sports trauma side, but that really flips in back to the MSK side. So yeah, I really like doing both, and yeah, it definitely breaks the week up getting to go into that sporting setting with the younger population and working that way.
Yeah. Yeah, so well, the question was, what made you go for part-time and full-time at the same time?
Pretty much, yeah. Yep.
Can't remember exactly which one I got first, but I think naturally you would go for another. If your intention of was going into sport and you pick up a private role, then you feel there's a bit of a void there, perhaps in something that you want to be doing. So yes, the private's good, it's enjoyable, it's developing you, but there's still that itch that you want to scratch. And that part-time role in sport was that, albeit it's a very limited viewpoint of sport because it's pitch side. So it's, you know, you're not working extended hours with the team, or, you know, doing rehab, or, you know, following injuries. It's literally turn up, deal with whatever's thrown at you and report back. But it was definitely good to get that early insight and then continue once picking up the ITMF, that constant kind of pitch side, because it keeps it fresh in your mind.
Is that more like, would you say that was more like a first aider type role more than a physio type role?
100%. Yeah, it was, you could probably just call it that, but, you know, nevertheless enjoyed it the same. You're effectively kind of a paramedic at the side of the football pitch, but obviously you're not a paramedic. It's literally travel to they tell you the fixture is, you travel to the game, meet up with the team, check in with anyone, see if there's any issues, see if anyone's got any, you know, asthma or any other associated health conditions, ensure everything's dealt with and you got all the appropriate kit. Then obviously the game can go ahead then if you've got the appropriate kit. And then it's, you know, sit on the side of the pitch, try and remember who's who and whose name's who, and see what someone's normal demeanor is, so that if there is any concussion, that you can determine what isn't normal for them.
Yeah, that must be very difficult when you don't actually know the set of lads that you're working with.
Yeah, I mean it is, but I wouldn't say it inhibits your ability too much. You're still able to do a good job, because if you're getting to the stage where you're needing to know whether that's like them or not, you probably should be sitting them out anyway.
Yeah.
It's just another layer that you get the benefit of if you are a full-time member of staff, because you're in and around them all the time. You know exactly what they're going to say next, you know, all that sort of stuff. So,
I think,
and I would as well just say, sorry, Brad, just to anyone who is, you know, got that itch they want to scratch and there's that particular area they want to go into, don't be scared of going into an area that you don't necessarily think you're going to enjoy, because it's good to be open-minded. But at the same time, ensure that whatever role you do get into, you are comfortable enough in that role that you could take on something else, and that it doesn't inhibit your work quality at that other place you're working at, because that's obviously never going to be cohesive and ideal for your headspace, but also the work that you produce and put out for that company you work for, I'd say. But it seems obvious, but yeah.
I just wanted to make a note on exposure. So when you're in a role, say for where you're at a private practice, the people that your seniors, your mentors, they're the people that you're exposed to for learning from. If you're in the NHS, you're on a rotation, your seniors are the people you're exposed to for learning, whatever in-service training you're getting. But if you can maximise that and have a part-time role in a different area to the full-time role, you're just getting double exposure for different areas, and you can switch it up, and they come into each other as well. And it might be that in the NHS, something happened at rugby that I wasn't too sure of, and then I'll ask somebody in the NHS who's a specialist in that. And you're just constantly learning, just being that sponge, soaking up everything that's coming around. But the more time that you're going into it, the more areas that the things that will pop up that you can actually ask those questions and be exposed to, I guess.
Yeah, I would agree with all of that. Shall we move on and let people know what we're doing next?
Sure can.
Okay, I'll start. So coming up sort of over the next couple of months, we're going to change the structure slightly of how we do our episodes. So up to this point, probably every episode apart from the first episode has been with a guest. Now that we're all going to be qualified, we're going to take on a little bit more responsibility and start to answer some of the questions ourselves. So episodes will feature the three of us a lot more frequently, with the idea basically being that we're going to start to talk about cases that we're seeing within our three different environments. So I think it's a really good opportunity for us to talk about different cases that we're seeing. We're going to be seeing a lot of the same injuries. It's going to be how we're managing them in different environments, which I think will be good for listeners. And then also just give people a little bit of a varied flavor of insight in terms of what we're actually seeing day to day. So I'm going to be seeing a lot of MSK stuff and then a lot of performance-based stuff dealing with athletes. Brad's going to be seeing a very different cohort within the NHS and on his rotation. And then Connor's going to be seeing an even different cohort of people working within professional sport. And that's all going to feed into how we're going to lend ourselves to these discussions. So how rehab is different in each environment, how we can assess in each environment, just the exposure that we have to our patients, how frequently we're seeing them, how that all lends itself to our different thought processes, different clinical decisions, and then how that feeds into our own ideas around our own clinical practice. So episodes are going to be a lot more frequent, as I said, with us. They're going to be a lot snappier, so sort of 25-minute, 30-minute conversations where we're just going to talk off the cuff, go through a clinical case that we've seen in the previous couple of weeks and just discuss how we've managed that, how we've assessed that, and what our plans are with that particular patient. Just to give people a bit more of an insight.
Yeah, good. And then I think the other thing we wanted to talk about was the next kind of thing that we feel there's going to be a change to us about. So there's the webinars and presentations that we're looking to start producing and then offering as well externally. So I'd say probably we're perhaps inspired by past people that we sought when we were part of the Physio Society at university, you know, sourcing external people who are able to provide a little bit of a snippet of learning into their kind of area. So those at Thrive, Matt McDermott and Liam Billcourt, I think it was that kindly produced a sort of pitch side in sport, trauma in sport presentation for some of us on the course at Bradford, which was really, really good. We're looking to hopefully provide a similar service to any societies or you know, even as CPD for different companies. I think we're going to leave it quite open to seeing what we get. Might get nothing, might get loads, who knows. But I think the purpose behind it was realizing what we're actually going to be producing in work anyway. It's, you know, the constant CPD, probably going to be doing presentations in front of you know, other members of staff and things, and putting that to good use, bringing our heads together, producing something, and then offering that out. So I don't know if I've missed anything on that, but I think they'll probably be quite varied in terms of the content on them, because obviously the nature of our varied working, but we're looking to kind of offer a little bit more than we perhaps would be verbally over a podcast, for example.
And I think it's important to say that what we're offering is going to be sort of very much at the level of a new graduate, in that when we kind of put our heads together and we're looking back at some of the courses that we had went on, sometimes it's quite difficult to bridge the gap between what you're learning at university and what some people are providing in a course. And we felt that some of the content that we had seen was maybe slightly too far outside of the remit of a student, and in terms of what you could take away as a student was probably a little bit far-fetched, in that yes, it's brilliant to have the information, but actually being able to initiate it and put it into practice, we felt was a little bit more difficult,
I guess. Yeah,
exactly. So we're hoping that these webinars are going to sort of come down to the level that a new graduate can basically take learning from what we're experiencing, looking at getting a gauge for the level that we're working at, looking at how we're implementing guidelines and clinical recommendations into our own practice, putting our case studies together, so that whether you're second year, third year, fourth year, you can have a bit more of an idea of what it's going to look like when you're in that position in 6 months' time or a year's time or whatever it is. Cool. Brad, anything to add to that?
No, I think you've always covered it. I think, yeah, just sharing from our experiences, pitching it at maybe a lower level than sometimes we got, because I think a lot of it went over our head sometimes. But I feel like we've got a better understanding of how students can apply and what they can apply to with the opportunities they're given. And we can not dumb it down, but simplify it in a way that the stuff that we're seeing in a day-to-day can be applicable to actual students and they'll take something away from it rather than a generalized presentation that could be delivered to you more experienced professionals and then just pitching that to a student.
Shall we wrap it up, boys?
Yeah, I think it would probably be worth mentioning about the Clubhouse, and then perhaps even as well the name change, obviously, with it being the Student Physio Podcast.
Oh, yeah, that's going to have to change.
That will have to change. So I think that's in the works at the moment. We've come up with a few different names.
If anyone's got any suggestions, drop us a message.
And then the Clubhouse. Yeah.
It was a car, sorry mate.
Does someone want to talk about Clubhouse?
Go on then. Yeah, I'll go. So I think we just wanted to touch on that we'll be doing a little bit more with ACPSEM Physios in Sport and sharing their Clubhouse platform, discussing all kind of things in and around sport. So basically just stay tuned to hear more of those. We'll look to post the links as we always do on our socials and then obviously on our Linktree. And then just a reminder or a refresher if for those that not sure what Clubhouse is, essentially it's a free platform. It's an app-based platform where it's kind of a popcorn-style conversation. You join, listen in. Obviously you have to make an account. And then you are part of kind of the stage and the listeners, and at any point the host of the discussion is able to bring those people that want to add anything into that discussion up onto the stage and then can join in and have their say, kind of thing. So which I know Stephen and Bex are very keen for people to do and add any insights that they've got to it. It's much more of your relaxed kind of conversation than anything too serious, which yet again is something that we quite like, as we've been, you know, from a student perspective. It's nice to have somewhere that you feel safe to give your viewpoint or ask any questions. You know, no question is a stupid question. So I think that rounds that one off.
Brad's gone again.
Honestly, this motorbike or something out there is going wild. Just a quick, for we won't give too much information away, but stuff in the pipeline for physios and sport. Stay tuned for some exciting things. Hopefully going to be progressing on. But yeah, all good. Nice to get caught up, boys, and share with what's coming on in the future.
Decent. We're going to drop our Neonic ad in here, and then we're going to close it. So
cheers, lads.
Thank you.